Hey, you know me. I love comic books.
Yes, me too.
I also love comic books.
You know what, though? With all the comic books we read and review, I don't have time for my true passion, video games.
That's definitely not true.
That's why I want to tell you all about this week's sponsor, the Gaming Ride Home Podcast, which has video game news, rumors, reviews, release dates, everything posted every day at 5 p.m., perfect for your drive home.
We live in New York. We don't have cars.
When I'm driving home in my car, I love to listen to host Kyle Hilliard chat down the day's video game topics, and the great news is the podcast is only 15 or 20 minutes long.
Oh, you could have just said that you listened to it on the subway or something.
Basically, Kyle is online all day catching up on video games, so I don't have to. And then I can go home and play all my video games instead of reading my dumb comics.
What is your deal?
2 years of podcasts and 25 million downloads can't be wrong. If you're a gaming fanatic, then catch up on the latest gaming news every day. Search your podcast app right now and subscribe to Gaming Ride Home.
Alex, I need you to apologize to comic books, the concept of comic books, right now.
I'm so sorry.
That feels better.
Welcome to Comic Book Club. Put your hands together for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Ronnie Rotten.
Ronnie Rotten.
The most rotten Ronnie in the world.
Thank you guys so much for coming out today. As we all know, it is the first night of Mardi Gras.
Yes. Technically the only night, I believe.
And I gotta say, Pete had this bit. He's just backstage that was gross, and we are
disgusting.
Not going to do it. It was putrid, Pete.
Putrid.
And that you even thought about it. It was something about throwing beads to superhero ladies. Disgusting. Yeah. Absolutely disgusting.
Wow.
He was all in on it, and I was like, no way am I doing that.
You're an awful person.
Or are you the awful person for coming up with that bit?
How are you going to be cutting loose on tonight's show for Mardi Gras?
Oh, man.
Well, Mardi Gras, traditional, you got a little wild parades happen
sure.
down.
Sure. Well, what I always do is I bake myself a king cake, and then I bake the Scarlet Witch's children into the cake.
Jesus, what are you talking about?
Like a little baby in the cake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I know the traditional king cake.
Right.
You brought up something horrifying. Pete, how are you going to be cutting loose on today's show? Tonight's show.
I'm just going to do what I always do.
Oh, ooh, let us inside your world. What does that mean? How does the actor prepare for his performance on an evening
Pete
like tonight?
Pete has been eating muffaletta sandwiches all day long.
Ooh, muffaletta. Yeah. We had a small Mardi Gras celebration at work, which involved wings for some reason, and a very strong punch.
Nice. Oh, yeah. That explains that podcast we taped earlier.
That's exactly right, where everything was just right.
Now, here's another podcast we're going to be taping right here, right now, with one of our favorite guests on the show. He's a comedian all around town. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Townsend!
Matt Townsend!
Matt! Hello!
I think we've had on Nat on too many times lately. Yeah. He's a little too comfortable.
Oh, speaking of too comfortable.
No, he's wearing a comic hat. That was fun.
Yeah, it was Mardi Gras, baby.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah,
there
he
you
was
go.
Really cutting loose.
Everybody's
just like
doing that
about.
Down at the Leans.
Mm-hmm.
What?
The Leans.
The Leans? That's where you're in New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. It's short. I don't want to waste.
Yeah, that's usually how people shorten
NOLA.
It, too.
Yes. Now, Nat, there's something we have to get out of the way up here, up front, right at the top of the show, because I know it's going to crop up in the middle of me saying something else otherwise.
Yes.
Pete challenged you to something about a year ago at this point.
You've been dodging me for a year.
Pete, I know you are asleep at the current time. I can tell by your physical position.
Yeah. Hey, man, don't yell at me because there's a lowrider couch.
All I see is I look over at this couch, Justin sitting like a normal person.
Like a good boy. Like a good, attentive boy. And what are you over here slouching?
You do not need to lay out like that.
Fuck you, man.
At
you
that
sit
point,
on
like,
this
the
couch.
The way your body is, that has to be uncomfortable.
Pete, posture projects good personality.
You know.
And I think you should. You're slouching
Stop.
Like a slow sloozer.
So anyways, Nat, you said that what you were working
on... Sorry, I didn't see you back there. Your head is so low. Yeah.
What you were working on was going to change the internet forever. It was going to...
I think I might have said the world forever,
yeah,
actually.
The world, yeah.
Wow, you're raising your own stakes.
And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So let's do a friendly wager of...
This is not a friendly wager, by the way.
Punching you in the face if you are wrong.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was the stomach.
By the way, I just want to mention, just in the way that you're sitting right now, very cool.
Thank you. Hey, guys, I'm just your assistant principal here to just check in and make sure everyone's doing good and feeling great.
Did you know that Shakespeare was the original comic book podcaster? Yeah.
You guys like rap music. Well, Shakespeare had a little bit to say about rap.
Go on.
You guys like superheroes. You know who the first superhero was? That's right. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. I'm also a youth pastor, and I shouldn't be in your classroom.
My favorite part of the New Testament is when Jesus gets bitten by a radioactive spider.
He does come back to life pretty quick.
Yeah, he does.
He's got like a Jean Grey turnaround rate when it comes to...
classic Marvel Comics resurrection thing.
Yeah, they're like, you know back in biblical times, they're like, Jesus is dead. And they're like, come on, he's just going to be back in like three issues. Yeah.
I don't buy it.
So anyway...
And now he's got powers. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. When would you like your punch in the stomach is the question.
So hold on.
Lay it out.
Alex, please, go ahead.
Yeah, well, you worked... Mm-hmm. At a place called Botnick Studios.
Have not been fired.
well, we agreed until after the show. So Botnick Studios, mm-hmm. which helps power... I'm not going to describe this.
That's great. We use different types of AI and predictive technologies to write
predictive
comedy.
Text.
Yeah, predictive text. We use RNNs, like neural networks. We use all different kinds of sort of... computer software and prediction to generate comedy and other media.
Right, like those tweets where everybody's definitely training bots to do things.
Alex, you're pushing my buttons, buddy.
There's a dark side to buttons.
So you're not only for robots taking our jobs, you're actually helping that happen.
I think this was the initial attack that started this fight in the first part where Pete accused me of...
If he looks at you in the way that old-timey cartoon characters would see meat when they look at something when they're hungry, Pete looks at you and sees the cell phone not turning on with the way he wants it.
Yes, exactly.
It's a frustrated technology thing.
So at Botnick Studios, you created and fundraised for a... You were right there? First beer?
I was laughing and I poured beer on myself. Oh, okay. Go on.
Is it a little too bitter for you, the taste of beer?
Yeah, you know, I've only had Zima so far. I've had sips of my dad's beer.
Matt's having his first full beer, so let's Mardi Gras. Matt's 16, and he's here with his robot future to ruin our adult lives.
So you created an album. You did a predictive text album, which was great. Super fun.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we did an album. Each song is created in a different way. Some of them are just predictive text. One of them was we trained a neural network on dozens of country songs, and then we had it spit out individual lines that could be in a country song. And then we referenced a rhyming dictionary to find which lines would actually... rhyme with each other, and then we structure that into a song, and then we recorded that song. Yeah. So that's just like one example.
So the bet that you made—that's
Old Town Road, right?
That's Old Town Road. Yeah, exactly. We were very successful.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Bet solved.
He changed the world.
The bet. Remind me if I'm wrong about this, Pete. But the bet was. He said, I think the world is. We're going to change the world, right? And you were like, if the world is the same afterwards. I get to punch you.
That's right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That was the bet. Mm-hmm. Would you say, Nat, that the world is the same before and after your album was released?
You know, it's a good question because, let's stand up for this, too. Because I think we're ready.
Okay, here we go. He's out of the chair.
You know, last time I was on the show, we brought this up and Pete was ready to punch me.
Right, yes.
But I said that... The only real way that our work could reach enough people as we needed to actually change the world was to have the amplification of the world's greatest comic book podcast. I mean, would you agree with me?
What are you doing?
Would you agree with me?
I'm not going to help you not get punched in
the
stomach.
Right, exactly. The only
way. Pandering to our audience.
I'm not pandering at all. I'm
you
making
are
no
gesturing.
Motions. I'm making... Yeah, none whatsoever. The listening audience at home can understand that the seated audience is losing their minds right now. The only way that we are going to change the world.
People want to see me punch you in the stomach.
Is if I go on Comic Book Club and say, you got to download the Songularity from Botnick Studios. And that's what we said. The last time we agreed the reason you weren't going to punch me was because we hadn't yet put it to the true test, which was promoting it on Comic Book Club.
That's brave. Wow. No, that's...
It's true.
That's
it's true.
Bullshit.
You can't punch
time.
This man now.
That was
it's been a year, you asshole. You didn't change shit.
That was in December.
Take your punch like a man.
I mean, that was in December, and we can all agree that that was enough time. Probably that was enough time, but I just remembered that was the episode that got deleted.
Yeah, that's true.
So we actually did get... we're going to have to... Now that it's out there... All right, we'll sit down. We'll bring it up.
Interesting, there was a technology.
No, no, fuck that. I'm standing.
No, 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 all that.
Motherfuckers can punch.
You notice how I got him standing? Yeah. Look at his posture. He's erect.
Wow, it's perfect.
This is gorgeous.
Your posture is
his spine is aligned.
You woke the beast. Now
yeah,
you got to
so
take
much
your punch.
Blood going to his head
good
now.
Job,
look at
that.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting down until I'm punching you, motherfucker.
Let's settle this.
You start punching, and something will get in the way.
Pete, I understand you're upset. Here's what we're going to say. We're going to formalize an agreement right here, all right?
Okay. It's been a year.
We'll formalize an agreement
But we haven't
right
talked about it on Comic Book Club. We need to see if the Comic Book Club
given,
audience,
we
the
are
greatest
give
audience
it the
in the
patented
world, can change it.
Comic Book Club bump.
Yeah,
for the Songularity.
What are you talking
Everybody
about?
Everybody knows
the bump,
about this.
The bump, baby, the bump.
But, so this is the bump. This is the bump. But December...
It's the Big Easy, baby. Mardi Gras, the bump.
You gotta give it the bump.
Who are you?
You gotta give it the bump.
Yeah, gotta give it the bump. Yeah. When was the Songularity first released?
Oh, last summer.
Last summer. Yeah.
No, that was,
okay,
that
so
was a while ago.
Early fall. Early fall.
You got a bunch of hair on your back.
Oh, gross.
But we didn't have our official release.
No, that's my sweater. It's growing.
Oh, cool. That's a whole other issue.
You were literally picking stuff off of his sweater?
Mm. I never sit this high and there's...
He's slowly turning into a bottomless monkey.
You should punch Alex.
Alex, I actually want to...
That's a good point.
I should correct that. It went out to our Patreon backers last fall. We had the official album release show on January 2nd of this year. So it hasn't been that
okay,
long.
Okay, so January 2nd. So here's what I'd say.
This is bullshit. Hold on, you get me worked up like I'm going to punch him, and then I don't get to punch him.
Speaking as Nat and your legal representative, here's what I think we can set right
good
now.
Good lawyer.
All right?
Only a good lawyer could represent both sides.
This album was officially released on January 2nd, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is mid to late February now.
It's late. It's not mid, asshole.
I mean,
you know it's what? A shorter
it's,
month.
It's a leap year, Pete.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'll remind
exactly.
you.
It's a long
you know what? Why don't you represent that and I'll
Ooh,
represent,
I like this.
I'll
like
represent
this.
My client, Pete LePage.
All right.
My Jedi husband and client, Pete
now,
LePage.
My client, Nat Towson. Released his album.
Wait, hold up. What is this hairy sweatered character?
Just my gorilla sweater. Yeah. Upset you in some way. This is how I intimidate other people's clients.
I don't think it's confusing. If nothing else. It's very confusing. All I'm saying is my client at a future date would like to punch you.
Yeah. Can we agree?
Yeah, can we decide when I get to do this?
Hold on, we need a sidebar.
Next time, don't worry, I have a plan.
Okay.
So
you whispered that into the
microphone.
May I talk
directly to your client?
At your own risk. I don't talk directly to him.
So it came out on January 2nd. Next time, don't punch me.
I'm going to punch somebody.
The next time.
Punch. Please, we're very close to resolving this. Don't punch me, first off.
The next time Nat is on the show.
You said that last time.
No, but a legally binding agreement in front of God and all of these witnesses.
These judges.
If the world isn't different by that point, you
No,
are,
you can't say general bullshit and say if the world isn't. He's got to have a certain number of downloads, or a certain number of things.
He wasn't as easy to trick as I thought.
The original agreement.
I was going to do a leprechaun thing on him.
Okay, we'll do it. We'll do a different, do a Rumpelstiltskin.
No, if you can guess Nat Towson's name.
I think very easy.
That's off the table.
Here's the thing. It's up to Nat when he returns to the show to prove to you that he has changed the world. It's not about a number of downloads because the world changes sometimes small and sometimes great ways. And we don't always know that. I'm lawyering over here.
Would you like to see the facts of my gorilla hair sweater again?
I've pulled off most of the hair at this point.
I could create more.
Gross.
Was it my hair?
A lot of it was stuck all the way in.
Might have been my wife's.
Your wife's hair grows into your back?
I mean, we have a weird relationship.
It's on Nat to convince you that he has changed the world the next time that he comes here. We're going to give him a little more time to do that because it just dropped a month and 13 days ago.
You get to determine
we need the audience to see if I can convince the audience.
I have conferred with my client. Believe that
I'm going back to laying down. This is bullshit.
An arbiter.
The defense rests. Literally.
Next time Matt returns to the show, the audience will determine whether he has, in fact, changed the world based on palpable metrics provided by Nat Towson.
This is good.
I'll tell you what, if the audience cheers louder for Nat than me next time he's on the show, I won't punch him. But if I get more cheers, I'm punching him in the stomach. Yes, and I don't care who the fuck you pretend to be.
That was implied. That was exactly what this deal was.
I didn't know my client was looking forward to punching someone so much, but he definitely is.
Well, I'll also mention, if you punch my client in the stomach, you're going to jail. And now it's time for our next section, which we like to call the
punch.
The stack. End of the stack. We're going to talk about a couple of. We probably should plug your stuff.
Don't worry about it. Okay, who cares?
All right. We're going to move on with talking about a bunch of comics that come out this week. Let's talk about New Mutants number 7 from Marvel Comics first. Now we'll actually talk to you first. You are really enjoying this book.
Yeah, I really like New Mutants. Has been really fun. It's sort of split right now between adventures that are happening on Earth in the Midwest somewhere, I believe, and then also deep in space near the Shi'ar Empire. And I'm enjoying that side, the space side of the story, a lot more, I think.
Yeah.
I think Jonathan Hickman, he's writing both the main X-Men book and New Mutants right now. And I think he is really good at writing, like, really carefully plotted, extremely complicated sci-fi or superhero stories. But he's also really good at, like, the sort of fun side, like the personalities of the characters more. And sometimes I think he gets a little lost in, and not even lost because I love it, but he gets singularly focused on telling these really densely plotted stories that are incredible, and the degree to which they are complicated but consistent and the payoffs feel earned is really amazing. But I think that sometimes the more complicated the story gets, he has fewer character moments. And I think what's been fun about this New Mutants arc is essentially the plot is Bobby misses his friend Sam, who lives in space now. And so they go, let's get a spaceship and go to space. Yeah. And then inevitably they get tangled up in something that goes wrong. And then in the end of this issue, they're sort of like, all right, was that the goal?
Was that what we wanted?
And they were like, oh yeah, I guess kind of forgot why we were out here. It was very fun though.
But what's tough is, like, meanwhile back on the island nation of Krakoa, they need them to get back. Like they need them for stuff. So it's like they're having this kind of carefree adventure, but they're fucking super needed back home.
It bothers me. What are they missing?
I think it's okay because it's taking place in a very compressed timeline, and that's all right. Like, I like having a fuck around book as part of the line.
And this definitely feels like there's a Dungeons and Dragons style game you play in the middle of this book if you want with a page
of
rules.
This issue is perhaps the silliest of that it's been so far. The recap is like 8 pages long in the beginning.
And there's
and
a whole,
like,
meta moment where they're like, hey man, you missed a couple issues where I think Danny is busting Roberto Acosta's balls about not remembering about the stuff happening on Earth. I mean, this is a book that started with like 5 new music. And now there's like 10, and it's all over the place, and it's fun.
Yeah, and particularly because the rest of it is so serious and so quote unquote important, as you were mentioning, it's nice to have one that's just enjoyable, like classic X-Men hanging out.
It's carefree.
It's not that carefree because you're like, motherfuckers, people need you back home.
What do you think they're missing on Earth?
Yeah, how much time?
There have been issues where literally some of the X-Men are like, oh man, we want to do this thing, but we need fucking so-and-so who just stole the ship and went on a fucking joyride.
But this is comics. It's not like they're missing an appointment. They're not doctors that in the real world that have to do surgery. Like,
Sure.
But so the thing you take away from this is like they should be on Earth where they belong.
Well, the thing is, it's cool that they're having fun and chasing their friends around, but like, meanwhile, back home, shit's getting serious. Like, there are people in a fight circle getting murdered and stuff. Like, shit is going on.
I mean, I do see your point. I think Alex is right that like this all takes place between like X-Men 1 and 3. I could be wrong on that, but it seems like this not that much time has actually elapsed. The other side of this book, the stuff that's going on Earth, is a lot darker. Also, like,
yeah,
that
definitely.
Side is, the
sad.
End of the previous issue was like.
Very but also, Hickman is writing
yeah.
that stuff, right?
What's
isn't that,
that
Rob Williams or somebody is writing that?
Oh, are they trading off?
I
on,
think so.
I didn't realize that. That makes sense because this is much more Hickman's voice, and the fact that it is Hickman makes me wonder. Because he's very good at doing that thing where he leaves one dangling detail that you either go like, huh, like he'll do that a lot where there'll be an example from this book is when they first saw the Shi'ar Death Squad. There's like a page that's like one of those info pages that's listing all of them. And then there's one on the list who's just not in the picture. And it's like, wonder where that is.
Yeah.
But that paid off in this issue. But there have been dozens of things like that since this run started where he introduces some element. Or there's like an info page and one chapter is just blacked out of it. And those things are all going to eventually come back, I'm certain.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is, we're reading this, you know, what, 4-issue arc of them having a fun space adventure. Like, what just got set up that's going to pay back into the continuity eventually?
Interesting. What do you think? Do you think this is going to pay off in the long run?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Hickman works by, like, putting a million things on the chessboard and then puts, like, once all the chess pieces are there, he's like, I'll put some rocks up there, some Cheetos, any other random things. And
Lego guys, maybe.
A couple Lego guys, which are very good at chess.
Some living mice.
yeah, living mice.
We'll definitely pick this up. Let's move to another Marvel comic book, Runaways, number 30.
Woo! Yes, all the Runaways in the crowd.
The crowd loves it, yeah.
So the Runaways are playing at being superheroes. Of course, Gert suspects that something is wrong. This book is great every single time.
It's really good. I feel like with all the arcs in this new run, like each issue just slowly turns the volume up on the premise of each individual arc. And it's really well drawn. All the characters, it feels like the original Runaways in totally different stakes and situations.
Yeah, this is by Ray Morrell. Is the art by Chris Anka again, or is it somebody different?
The art is by, not Chris Anka, Andres Genole.
Oh, okay, well, it definitely channels Chris Anka.
Yes, very in the style of Chris Anka.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, by the way, the art in the New Mutants book is also
what bothered
great.
You about this? Because they're running away from their problems. They should be at home.
Yeah, they should.
Do you miss home? Do you miss your home?
Yeah, maybe I do.
Why are you mad at me? I'm your lawyer.
Don't come at me, bro. All right?
I'm not coming at you. I'm asking you questions.
Pete, just to throw something out at you, there are a couple of pillows backstage. Do you want me to throw them out so you can recline even further?
Or would you like to punch them? I don't know.
Yeah,
sure. That'll be good.
Them. Yeah.
Are you just getting prepped for Passover? Right?
What?
Yeah, one guy left.
It's a holiday where you recline.
You let things pass over you? Is that
nope?
Yeah, like
it's actually very active and bloody and dark. I'll tell you the Passover. You can come to my Seder this year.
Wow,
sweet!
That would be finally. It'd be nice to be invited.
Come by the
How
Seder.
Many chairs have you left empty?
Just the one.
Why? There's two of us.
I know, but neither of you are Elijah,
huh? Leave three open, Elijah. He never shows up.
Yes. It's very weird.
It's rude.
We invite him every
it's
year.
It's rude. We'll leave three empty, and we'll take two of them.
Okay. I'll leave glasses of wine there, and when I turn back, they'll be gone.
Ooh.
Yeah, the wine will be gone. Or yes. will be gone.
We'll
be
whichever.
Gone. All
Hopefully
of your
both.
Treats.
Hey, Alex. What about instead of like eating bitter herbs at your Seder, you had like a Subway meatball sub? Do you think that would bring in?
That's about the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have a Subway meatball sub with cheddar cheese at my Jewish Seder.
Yeah, yeah. Just to represent what the early Hebrews had to experience.
On bread, right? If a Passover Seder?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. Not on a sub on matzo ball. I'm sorry. A matzo ball sub on matzah. With the marinara sauce.
That sounds good.
I mean, now it's actually sounding a little like my Seder.
Honestly, if Elijah's anything like Pete, I think he'll finally show up if there's a Subway.
All right, last one we're going to talk about. This is from DC Black Label, Wonder Woman Dead Earth.
Woohoo!
Volume 2.
Yeah,
I think it's volume
now we're
two.
Talking.
Dead Earth!
Now we're talking.
So this is a post-apocalyptic tale of Wonder Woman traveling through a, I want to say, dead Earth. And it is by Daniel Warren Johnson, who Pete loves so much. He bought the T-shirt. Pete, you want to talk about this?
I made a T-shirt, and then you lovely paid for it, right? People bought also a T-shirt for me.
There yeah.
But, yeah, this is fantastic. Really showcasing amazing art, and the action is phenomenal. And it's kind of Wonder Woman fighting her way through this landscape. A very exciting way, and she has Batman's utility belt, so
yeah,
pretty badass.
The best part of Batman, his belt.
Oh, yeah. Man, come on.
Do you name a better part?
Yeah.
Batman.
Oh,
touche.
That's right. A good answer.
Okay.
What did you think about this book, Justin?
This book is great. I love it's a sort of omnibus-style format. It's a larger and... much the art, you just get to see the art more. The great, really well showcased there, yeah. Mr. Vanna
White. I will
White.
Say it makes a great hat if you're entering on stage.
That's true. We've proven that tonight. And it's it is a lot like Murder Falcon in that it's like very intense action, big emotions. Wonder Woman's going through. We get flashbacks to her coming up and what it was like for her to be too powerful, then powered down, and now she's on this dead earth where she has to use all of her faculties to try to save those small humans that are left.
Yeah, yeah, and the monsters are great. If you read Murder Falcon, you know that he draws incredible monsters. Here, they're even grosser and bigger in a very specific way. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah, this book, like, I think that I'm sure that I have complained about this on the show before, but like the thing that sort of
watch yourself.
Okay. What are you going to do? Punch me?
Uh-oh, I think he's
my lawyer's
another...
here.
Yeah, I'll punch your lawyer,
I'll
too.
I'll protect him.
He's going to punch through your lawyer. Yeah. Let's be honest.
It's like a hole through Alex's stomach.
I object! What were you going to say?
Catchphrase.
The thing that I think has kept me from like reading DC Comics consistently for a long time is that the house style of their art is so much more locked down than other publishers, like specifically Marvel, but also obviously independent publishers. And like they had that brief publishing initiative. I think it was DCU, like YOU, where they had Babstar drawing Batgirl, and they had like a bunch of sort of like Tumblr artists and people like brought in a bunch of like different newer looking art styles. And then I feel it was like 6 months and they're like, actually, let's make it look like it's 2000 again. And I think I don't know exactly when, because DC didn't look, I think it was consistent, but it wasn't this consistent look until like digital coloring took over and like they started using gradients for everything. And I just like most DC books, they kind of just all look the same to me, and some there's like better ends of that. Like I like Greg Capullo on Batman and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but like I think he did like the best interpretation of that, and I think they gave him a longer leash than most people. This feels like an Image book. Like this is, I love this. Like I love seeing these characters drawn with like a much more expressive style and like flatter, not quite as like fluorescent colors, and like this feels like I don't know. It reminds me of like. I mean, this is a little more cartoonish, but like Headlopper or They're Not Like Us.
It's sort of like a modernized Frank Miller, you could even say, a little bit.
Yeah, and it's definitely, like, it's not terribly off model or anything like that, but it's not those, like, hard black outlines to everything, and the coloring is a little bit more muted. It's really beautiful, and it's, like, it's amazing that they're getting the chance to do that with one of the like top three characters that they have.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great stuff. Definitely pick that up. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience question.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm going to come back to you. You're going to ask
go
a question.
Go get them, Salbs.
What?
Go get them.
Oh, thanks,
guys. Get that audience.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Watch out. I don't want to knock over your beer, man.
Take him down a peg.
I saw this hand.
Alex is doing a lot of characters tonight. You know?
You should see him lately.
Oh, dude. He's more characters now.
He's expanding.
No, it's like my thing.
This is kind of like a 70s Dennis Hopper character.
I think he's having a psychotic break.
Yeah. Good for the show, though.
Hi, my name is Brandon, and I'll try to keep it quick so that there's enough time for Elijah's question. So, nice.
We just leave the mic alone for Elijah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. So, what I wanted to know is, since you're creating robots to replace us in our jobs in comedy.
Well said. Wow.
No, actually, it's not. But well said.
But what I was wondering is, are you working on an AI that can also make people, you know, as damaged, like an AI that could be as much a mess as, say, Richard Pryor? I just rewatched Blade Runner, and so, like, is Rutger Hauer's shitty poetry in that like a stepping stone to an AI Richard Pryor?
Wow. No, obviously not. But
interesting.
But I mean, you definitely can. I mean, to. I didn't get to this in the beginning because Pete was threatening to physically harm me, but essentially, okay, I have the microphone now, but essentially, I mean, you know, and Alex alluded to this, anytime someone shows you something, they go, oh, this was written by an AI, this was written by a bot, they're leaving out a part of the story. Essentially, AI technology, at least as it currently exists, is not capable of producing something long form and coherent that would actually mimic another person. So most of what you're seeing and what we focus on is collaborations between people and technology. And I would argue that that's been since the pencil, that's been the way that art has progressed, is a sort of meeting point and interaction between humans and technology.
You cool with pencils, Pete?
Nah, man.
What about me? Yeah, I was going to say mechanical pencils. Is that what the line is?
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
He writes with like a stone on the sidewalk.
Yeah, right, he's taking jobs away from birds. Yeah. He used to use bird feathers for writing.
Yeah, taking jobs away from birds who used to sell their feathers to our founding fathers, and that's why they wrote the Constitution.
Well, it got weird.
And that's the birds used to get money out of that, and you killed their business.
USA! USA!
Oh my God, what
this
happened?
This has taken a turn.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point being, it's a collaboration between a person and an AI, but you could, if you wanted to, for example, take one of our tools and plug a full Richard Pryor stand-up routine into it and then see what results you would get from that and use that to write your own Richard Pryor
probably
stand-up.
Something better than he could have done.
Oh, come on. Holy shit, guys. Wow.
What was that with Superman 3, right?
Come on.
That's the main thing he's known from.
That was his stand-up special, I believe.
Yeah. Excuse Superman me, Alex. He was number one on Comedy Central featuring Sierra Mist's 100 Greatest Comics of the 20th Century.
Definitive list.
Yeah.
Sierra Mist, everyone's favorite comedy soda.
Yeah. It was featured heavily into this several hour long
very funny soda.
Oh, it is. Of all the sodas.
What would you say the second funniest soda is?
I mean, Mountain Dew.
Mr. Pibb, dude.
Mr. Pibb is the funniest soda.
Right.
Because they took Dr. Pepper and were like, nah, you didn't go to school.
Mr. Pibb sounds like he wears a bowler hat. Yeah. As far as
he does. Good evening, I am Mr. Pibb. Would you like to try my tonic, my soda tonic?
A sip of my elixir, if you will.
Yeah.
My name is Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. Okay.
Besides Pete and Superboy, what do you think are some of the definitive punches in comic history?
Ooh, that's a great question. Superboy, obviously the famous
Superboy Prime. He's talking about who punched
the famous
reality
crisis punch.
One of the first like Captain America comics where he punched out Hitler.
Yeah, that was Captain America number one on the cover. Yeah,
so I would say that's my answer.
My answer is also a Captain America punch, but it's Infinity Gauntlet 4, I think, where they have this huge scheme to get close to Thanos, and they're like, everyone has their own little part in it, and it ends with Captain America just punching him in the face.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't end up working.
But I love that.
But it's such
issue,
a great
though.
Moment that it all like capitulates in that like one punch, but then he gets the gauntlet back.
Anyway. We didn't say the Superman Doomsday.
That's what I was going to say. That was going to be my answer as well.
Yeah, they killed each other by
they
punching
each other
in the
one
fist.
Punch. Yeah, the
that
timing
always confused
on that.
Me.
Yeah,
like I feel like you'd break your fist. Maybe it would unfurl a little bit, but that's not the thing that would kill you.
Even when I read that, I was like, "That's convenient."
They both punch each other to death like simultaneously.
They had fought for like a week.
You know what bothered me about that the most is that if you look at that issue, Superman's fingers are interlocked. And if you ever learn anything, like if you ever do martial arts, you'll never do that. You break your fingers if you do that. Superman swings like this,
like
up at Doomsday's jaws.
It's
with
not
all of his
normal
fingers.
Man. He's Superman.
Yeah,
maybe
but
that's
Doomsday's
what killed him.
Got a normal jaw.
That's like what killed him, the fingers.
He broke his fingers, yeah.
He was like, ow, 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 ow. Oh, my fingies.
He died of embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been bothering me since high school, and it's just, this is the first time it's come up in probably over a decade. But don't interlock your fingers to
hey,
hit someone.
Maybe,
when you break your fingers.
You know, something's been bothering that long. Talk to a therapist or something.
Wow, okay.
Pete's coming at you at all angles here. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to punch you. Also, you need to see a fucking therapist. You need to get your head straight and then your face because I'm going to mess it up.
Pete knows something about therapy. He's not even in therapy. And he's lying down on a couch right now.
That's right.
This is Pete's weekly therapy. It's not going well.
I think we can take another question if anybody's got one. Anybody have a question about anything? Comment?
Anything at all.
Oh, you got another one.
Oh, we've got another
come
question.
Over here.
Coming in hot. More AI.
Taking up Elijah's spot.
I was just going to throw in Batman Guy Gardner in Justice League. One punch. It was just one punch. That one.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good
one,
too.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
There we go.
There are more punches.
I don't remember that one, actually.
Those are the only punches in comic books.
Yeah.
Do we have any other questions? Nothing?
There's a lot of lasers.
All right. We're going to move on. Oh, Kevin, did you have another one?
Oh, we got another question.
All right. Back and forth, back and forth. Kevin, what's going on?
What are your favorite kicks? Questions?
Another quick one.
Best kicks.
Favorite amorphous characters.
Oh, amorphous. Like the gas guy who was on the ship in the New Mutants we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you mean?
Does that count?
Like blobby, goofy...
Nick Nolte in the first Hulk movie as Absorbing Man. He was a little cloud.
That's your answer?
That's your favorite?
That's your favorite?
That's
your favorite.
And your favorite was Nick Nolte.
Yeah, I
love
Nick
Nolte. Your favorite amorphous character in a comic book is Nick Nolte, the actor who played...
Yeah, I got to say, that's a controversial answer.
I have spoken.
In the second Hulk movie.
I have spoken.
Is that okay?
He says that in The Mandalorian.
No, he says that a lot now. He says, Alex has spoken. Alex spoke.
He's doing a Mandalorian.
Okay. Yeah, I have spoken.
Great
character.
We would have got it the first
that's
time.
A fourth or fifth
that's
character.
A fifth
of the
character.
Night.
Yeah, Alex is having an identity crisis.
Oh, you're not going to suggest therapy for him. I'm just mad about a comic book.
I'm good to go. I just got to do a couple more voices. And
yeah, exactly.
Then I'll nail that audition.
You're like Joaquin Phoenix, like a third of the way into the Joker, right? You're like pre-stare dance.
I'm just doing like this fucked up shit with my body.
That's good.
Wow, stop.
Hey, there's nothing weird about that.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have nightmares. Stop moving.
I'm going to go home on the subway tonight. Some dudes will be singing Sondheim at me. I'll be like, oh, that's fucking it.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, Alex,
I don't get that reference because I didn't make it through that piece of shit movie.
You didn't see it. Oh, I think you need to watch it just so you can look for the warning signs and that happening in
Alex.
That's my recommendation.
If your friend has early onset Joker, you want to know.
Toot sweet.
Amorphous characters.
I like in the post-crisis DC universe, how Supergirl was just like a pink blob.
That's
for
a great answer. I actually really like that as well. David was writing it.
Yeah, the Matrix or whatever that character was.
It
called.
Was super weird, and she was like. Mostly as Supergirl, but could just be blobby for some reason.
Yeah, or sometimes we get like hit really hard, or electrocute, or like pass out, and then just turn into like a blob. I don't. The continuity of that was a little confusing because then they merged the characters.
It was confusing. She had brown hair when she was.
Well, not to get back to the death of Superman, but that's one of the weirdest things about trying to read that now, because you have pieces of continuity like that where you get like it's this broad span of the DC universe, and then in the middle it's like Supergirl. She gets punched by Doomsday and explodes into the silly putty. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and she's dating Lex Luthor at the time,
who's a good guy. The big red-bearded Lex Luthor.
Lex Luthor 2.
Lex Luthor 2.
But he was actually secretly the original Lex Luthor's brain put into a clone of himself.
Right, and passing himself off as Lex Luthor's son.
Right, exactly.
And comics are fun.
Yeah. It was fun. Sense. I like that run. But
great amorphous blob.
Yeah.
Does Dupe count?
He's
just a regular blob.
Morphous.
He's Morphous.
I knew
he doesn't
didn't.
Stretch.
Yeah, I think even my answer is stretching it. It's blobby, but not so amorphous. Well, yeah, dude's just kind of a amorphous blob. Yeah, amorphous blob.
Wow, confusing.
Yeah, very confusing.
I guess, I mean, Clayface from Batman. I feel like we talked about Batman the Animated Series a lot on this.
We do.
Show lately, but we talked about that, I think, maybe last week. But that's the first thing that came to mind. That two-part episode where he's the actor that becomes Clayface.
How about the character in the original Young Justice run, who I think his name was Secret, I want to say, who was just sort of like a gas, like kind of a ghost, but she was just sort of like a gaseous creature. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about?
That was meant to be sort of their Raven.
Yeah, sort of. I think the character was just known as Secret or her first name or something like that, because it was the original conceit was that they had rescued her from like a research facility,
yeah,
and that they were pretending not to know who she was. They were pretending that she wasn't part of the team, and then everyone was chasing them to try to get to her, like whatever government agency or Roxxon or whatever it was they stole her from. Yeah, that's like the first issue, I think.
She was their secret. And that was back when there was like the Justice League was all those heroes. Teen Titans was the second generation that mapped all those same heroes. And then Young Justice still also did that for some reason.
Well, they also had the Justice Society. Also, they had that was like late before a few years before they did the New 52 reboot to simplify things, where there were basically like World War One, World War Two, Cold War, 90s, and then a sort of fifth generation of every character coming in. So there were like
five
eight flashes.
Layers of the same idea.
Right. And they had merged.
Being like, I have a great idea. What if it's younger that?
Yeah, exactly.
Over and over again.
Well, they'd also, when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, they were like, there's too many alternate realities. They merged like the last five of them. But what that meant was that except for like Superman and Wonder Woman, I guess, there were like at least two versions of every character right there from different generations. Like there was the Jay Garrick Flash and
there are too many Flashes.
Yeah, there were at some point like seven or eight Flashes, I think.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Flashes.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for your questions.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
I will say real quick, jump the music there, but in the review of the comics we said, I've said another clue to the actual thing to get the Starman quiz.
Wow.
Well, if you told you when, you'd know.
To listen. Were you listening to when I was talking?
Wait, do you also both times talked about the Batman the Animated Series?
Oh, interesting.
That was in audience questions, which is I'm talking about the stack.
Last
week I said the actual phrase split up, and this week I said a three-word clue in the things that I said.
So I'll tell you what, you guys should probably run this through a transcription software and then put it through a word cloud generator and see what you can come up with.
Actually, head it over to Botnick Studios.
Bless
and actually, we can generate some new Justin lines in case Justin's ever not here.
That will be underhelpful, but
eventually we'll all be replaced by an AI. Take it away, Pete.
All right. So this part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Yes, you first-hand up person.
First?
Come on down.
Here we go.
Come casual hand up.
All the way in the back.
Yeah. Here we go. Hello. Please come over.
Yeah, right there. What is your name?
Megan.
Audience Megan.
Hi.
Wow. All right, Megan, I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Yep. All right. So today's trivia is on topical comic news.
Okay.
Question number one. Who said a showdown is coming between Hickman's X-Men and the rest of the Marvel U? Is it A, Jason Aaron, or is it B, Dan Slott, or is it C, Rick Moranis?
Ooh.
I really thought he was going to say Rick Remender and have an actual themed answer for once.
Yeah.
Jason Aaron
is correct.
Wow.
All right, here we go. Question number two. Lock and Key will be doing a crossover event with the Sandman universe in October called blank. Is it A, Mr. Sandman, give me a key? Or is it B, Helen Gone? Or is it C, Eugene Levy? So it's either A, Mr. Sandman, give me a key, or B, Helen Gone.
B.
B is great correct.
Yeah. I love how you lightly sang that first clue, first answer.
Thank you.
It's really good.
All right, here we go. Last one.
I don't know if I've ever said this, but you are a star.
I hate you. I hate you so much. All right, last one. Who takes the spotlight in Archie Comics number 712? Is it A, Katie Keene? Wow, that seems very topical. Or is it B, Pops? Or is it
not
C,
topical.
Mary Gross? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick something else.
I'll guess A.
A is correct. $25 yours.
Nice.
Congratulations, Megan.
Congratulations. Well, I will say Mary Gross does sound like an Archie character.
Yeah, it does.
Now, I mentioned there's
a
secret.
And a garbage pail kid.
There is a secret quiz hiding in Pete's quiz. The three clues were Rick Moranis, Mary Gross, and Eugene Levy. It's all a Robin Williams movie for some reason. Kevin, which is it?
I'm thinking Club Paradise.
Club Paradise is correct, sir. Way to go, Kev. Way to go, Kev.
There we go. And of course, Kevin wins for getting that. Nothing. Okay.
Was there a prize for that?
No prizes, I guess.
No.
It's just Kevin has the satisfaction knowing that he's a smart individual.
The ultimate prize is knowing that you're smart.
Yep.
And I think Kevin gets to punch you.
Nope. As my lawyer, you know that's not correct.
Okay. Just testing the waters. Like a good lawyer, I'm testing the truth at all times.
I think you're going to want to take this deal. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, thank you so much for asking.
Anytime, Pete.
I'm looking
forward... You know what? Not anytime, once a week.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
I'm looking forward to Finger Guns number one.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And speaking of Finger Guns, I'm also looking forward to Punisher Soviet number 4 of 6.
Yeah, he doesn't use regular guns. He uses only finger guns.
But they're guns that shoot fingers.
Honestly, that's what I want. I want a Punisher comic that just him going, pew, pew, pew.
It's not Star Wars. Bang. He would say pew. Yeah, he would say.
Bang. He would say bang.
Yeah. Do they have the trademark on pew? Like, is it thwip? Like, you can't say like pew in a different comic.
No, Florence Pew actually.
That's true. That's what I meant. Florence Pew. Florence Pew. Pew pew. Florence Pew.
It's really working with the audience, I gotta say.
I'm looking forward to X-Men number 7.
Wait, is that the one where they're just sitting around talking?
No.
It comes out tomorrow. So it's a comic that we won't read until the future.
Oh, right. My bad.
You haven't read it.
It is Tuesday night. It comes out tomorrow.
That's exactly right. What are you talking about?
I don't know. I got confused.
Yeah, you got really confused. Sure. It's a great issue. I already read it. And what happens is... I'm just kidding, Alex.
Yeah. Oh, look how mad he is. Look at those eyeballs. Look at the beady eyeballs come out. That's when you know you're in trouble.
I pulled off too much hair from his sweater, and now he's angry.
Fucking eyeballs start shaking with rage.
That's what keeps me calm.
It keeps his hair. The hairy hug of the back of his sweater. X-Men number 7. Excited to check it out. It's a comic with Cyclops. We've been talking about the X-Men universe a lot, where there's so many ideas on the table. And it feels like this issue is really going to solidify one aspect of that. Also, Ice Cream Man number 18, one of my favorite comics. Great.
You can't do that. Now Zalpin doesn't have one.
Sure.
Because I made you angry.
No, you didn't make me.
You know what? I'm going to represent you as well. I'm going to be your lawyer.
This is my lawyer, by the way. He'll be representing me from now on.
Po bono.
No, I'm representing you in your fight with me.
I will say we're going to have reviews of both those comics that Justin mentioned in our Stack podcast tomorrow that goes up Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the Comic Book Club feed and in its own feed, so check it out there, and we'll have plenty of reviews. I was going to choose one of those two things, but you took
one. What about other comics?
Do you like any other comics?
I don't know, Falcon and Winter Soldier number 1. That's a fun book.
That's
pairing up two comic book characters. They're going to get together, and I think they're going to agree on everything. Now, what are you looking forward to?
In that vein, I like two comic book characters, so I'm going to check out Giant Size X-Men, Jean Grey / Emma Frost number 1 by Jonathan Hickman and Russell Dodderman, I think. We've sang the praises of the X-Men's really good right now. All the books are really good. I really like to see, I've liked almost every concurrent series that's coming out, and I'm interested to see what they do with like spotlight books like this, because I think giving Hickman even though the main title has been sort of each issue is about something different, like giving him a longer issue to just sort of flesh out some of these characters. And I want to figure out what's going on with Jean Grey and Emma Frost, and are they swingers now? And also why is she wearing that Marvel Girl costume? And like, maybe they'll get into some of the stuff that happened before Dawn of X that doesn't make any sense yet.
As we read in Dawn of X, everybody fucks.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
FUX, that was in the number 3.
There is my favorite part at the end of that is when Rodney Dangerfield came out and said, "We're all going to get laid."
Yeah, that's true. It's weird that he's a mute.
Well, they brought him back to life. That's what happened.
There you go. Very sad.
That was the Jonathan Hickman was like, the X-Men can bring any mutant back to life and Rodney Dangerfield.
I finally got respect. How was
now
that?
Now that's a good character. That's a good right on the plate for you.
Thank you.
I think Rodney Dangerfield's mutant power is sticking his eyeballs way out.
Yeah. It's somehow being in movies for 40 years.
Yeah. Oh, he was boo. Back to School was great.
No way.
I don't know why I'm looking directly at you.
It is weird how much you're looking at that.
Back to School was fucking great. that in your face. No, what do you want to plug? What's coming up for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, well, we didn't talk about it in the beginning for good reason. We had litigation to get through. But I host a show every Sunday night at the People's Improv Theater. Not this one. Across town at the People's Improv Theater Underground called New Material Night. It's a stand-up comedy workshop. It features me and some local comedians and usually a headlining comedian. Last week it was David Cross. Was headlining the week before that. I believe it was Janine Garofalo.
You had Jordan Klepper recently. Mm-hmm. You had Asif Manvi for a long time. Like, you have great guests.
Yeah, we always have great guests, and there's drop-ins. You never know who's going to be there. Next week, we have Otto Fernandez and Mike Kaplan are going to be there. The following week, Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show is headlining.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, every Sunday night, 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater. It's $10 and you get to see professional comedians doing stuff that they probably wouldn't do in a more formal environment. And it's like a really cool sort of workshop show where you see something that you wouldn't see anywhere else. So
that's
check it out.
Awesome. Definitely go to that. A couple of things we're going to plug before we go. The show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a bit of money to do. If you want to support it, patreon.com/ what?
Nothing. You're right. It's costing us a fucking arm and a leg.
Well, these legal fees alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're all billing each other for the legal fees. It's horrible.
I'm actually your lawyer. Yeah, so.
Yes. Pete's paying out the ass.
Actually, I want to mention past 8 o'clock, so I'm going to have to bill you for this hour.
That's a whole other bill of hour. That's how you make money on podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can support us there and get some fun bonuses at the same time. We also have a couple of other podcasts that we're running right now. Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast is going every Wednesday night after that show. Katie Keencast. Our Katie Keene podcast is every Thursday after that show. Also ongoing is our Lock and Key podcast, Lock and Key Unlocked, where we're currently recapping the Netflix show. We're about 2/3 of the way through that.
So we're getting so close to
that. Oh, my God. I'm so scared.
And it's crazy for a show that everyone has already binged. I'm not binging it because we're doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yes. Sorry about that. I will say, I mean, we should probably say that for that podcast, but Netflix put out its top 10 list today, and it's still number 3, like
it's
3
crazy.
Weeks on.
It has a little tab that says top 10.
Yeah, very
what
cute.
What a great that the show we like is liked by someone.
It was weird. I clicked on it a bunch of times on the top 10 thing, and it didn't say Doctor's Albin coming season 2 or anything like that, but I'm sure that's functionality they'll put in later.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think they've announced season 2 yet, right?
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Though, so I feel like it'd be weird to plug Dr. Zalbin specifically.
Well, you got
to
get the fans excited.
Yeah.
So they keep binging.
You think they're going to do sort of like maybe like a road tour? Like they'll do like show Dr. Zalbin in different cities leading up to season 2. Yeah. Like,
hello, I'm here to check on your spine.
Yeah.
I'm here to mix up your x-rays.
That is not a thing he did.
He did mix up things.
He mixed them up.
I mean, maybe I didn't read
it. It was one
that.
Page. You didn't read the one page with you on it?
I skipped over
That's
that
literally
page.
What happens. He's like, I mixed up the x-rays. You didn't read about you?
I didn't read it.
That does seem, that seems...
Didn't see that interesting.
Wow. You're like, I know me, Skip.
How many panels into the page did you
get? Wife, two kids, I get it.
Wow, what a dreamer.
Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
That's right. The punchable guests like Matt Towson. Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. You can subscribe and listen on iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Nat for being on the show.
Stop it. Keep going.
But most of all, we want to thank you all. We're here every single Tuesday at 7 p.m. I'm totally free. Next week, we're going to have Hurricane Helms, a wrestler from the WWE.
We're going to see Monday Night Raw the night before the show and talk about what we saw.
He's going to be here next week, so definitely come to that one. That should be a lot of fun.
And he's going to punch me.
And he's going to punch that. See you next time.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out, everybody. Thank you. Of the